Before meeting Ventura Port District Board of Commissioners, we will start with a pledge. Dave, would you please lead us in a pledge of allegiance?
Flag.
States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, please.
Commissioner Howell?
Here.
Commissioner Stevens?
Here.
Vice Chair Gardena?
Here.
Chair Blumenberg?
Here.
And Commissioner Rainey will be absent today.
All right, now that we have a little bit of a bigger crowd, I would like to officially welcome Elizabeth Howell to join the Board of Commissioners. So a great addition to the team. Welcome aboard. All right. Looking at our agenda for tonight, Commissioners, what's your thoughts?
I move approval as presented.
I second.
I have a motion and a second to adopt the agenda as presented. All in favor, say aye.
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 Any opposed? Hearing none opposed, we have adopted the agenda as presented. All right, we'll move on to approval of the minutes from our June 19th, 2024 meeting. Commissioners, what do you think of those minutes?
I move approval as presented.
I'll second.
All right, I've got a motion and a second to approve the minutes as presented. All in favor, say aye.
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 I wasn't present, but I feel comfortable after reviewing.
Very good. And Elizabeth, I know you weren't present also, but you can still cast your vote.
So. Well, I watched some of the audience, so if I can cast,
there
I'm
you go.
Happy to approve.
So the minutes from June 19th are approved. All right, move on to public communications, an opportunity set aside for the public to testify on some items that are not on tonight's agenda. Do we have anybody in the audience that'd like to speak to items that are not on tonight's agenda? Anybody online that would like to speak? No. All right. We will close public communications. Move on to our closed session report. Council?
I'd like to report that the group met in closed session to hold a conference regarding labor negotiations under Government Code Section 54957.6, and no action was taken. And they also discussed price and terms of payment in regards to a real property transaction with its negotiators under Government Code Section 54956.8, and no action was taken.
Thank you. All right, we'll move on to board communications, an opportunity for the commissioners to discuss issues related to the port. Commissioners, anything to share tonight? From none of us. So we will close board communications and move to our staff and general manager reports. Brian?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. We've got a lot of items. Ruby's in the audience tonight. We've got a lot of items from marketing, so I'm going to go through some of these and then a couple of other items, a letter of commendation here in support of our Harbor Patrol from the city of Oxnard, and then some actions that the city council Ventura took last night. So with regards to activities here at the village and things that just recently happened, Visit Ventura Drone Show, for those of you that had a chance to come and see that, was held on Wednesday, June 26, hosted in partnership with Visit Ventura, a tremendous success. Village restaurants were bustling, and we estimated that over 2,000 people attended the event, gathering around the main lawn area, festivities, plus harbor beaches and throughout the village. The main stage concert was also well received by attendees, and we extend our gratitude to the Visit Ventura team for bringing the inaugural drone show, maybe we can do it again next year, to the harbor, and a big thank you to Ventura County Coast for their cross-promotion efforts, a fantastic way to kick off the summer season. Waterfront Wednesdays, pleased to announce the return of Waterfront Wednesdays throughout July at the village. The initiative offers a midweek escape as part of the C'est la Vie summer campaign. Each Wednesday from noon to 2, visitors can enjoy tropical drums and special offers from tenants and at the and the weekly village visitor booth. Summer entertainment, for our entertainment, we have a couple of exciting series lined up. DJ Summer Sessions every Saturday from noon to 3 on the Promenade stage, and Steel Drum Summer Series every Sunday from noon to 3. Back this year are the Seaside Movie Nights. Is this the third year, Ruby? Third year. So 3 years ago, gave it a try with one night, or was it two when we first started? too. Yeah. So, started that off as a new idea, movie nights during the summer out on the grass lawn area. Extremely successful, 400 to 500 people, I think, coming out for every event. We increased it to 3. So it's back again. The outdoor movies provide a fun addition to the harbor's evening ambiance. The series begins on Saturday, July 20th. I guess that's in a few days here with Barbie, followed by the 60th anniversary screening of The Endless Summer on August 17th, and wrapping up the series with a showing of Hook on Saturday, September 21st, which coincides with the annual Talk Like a Pirate Day the same week. That is a lot. That is a lot. Each movie night will include pre-festivities featuring music and activities, contests, popcorn vendor, and more starting an hour and a half before the sunset. What a great way to spend an afternoon and evening. Cones with Cops. This event just came up in the last week. It is Coastal Cone, actually working with the Ventura Police Department. So excited to announce the first ever Cones with Cops event in partnership with the PD. The event will take place on July 23rd from 2 to 3:30 p.m. At Coastal Cone, where they'll be giving out up to 100 free kids cones. Wow. Do you have to be a kid to get the kids cone?
No.
No? Okay. All right. The goal of Cones with Cops is to break down barriers between police officers and residents by connecting in a neutral environment to answer questions and allow residents to meet the officers who patrol their neighborhoods. The chief, commanders, and officers are planned to attend. That's great. Port District will assist in cross-promoting the event and facilitating allowance for police vehicles, show and tell experience for the kids in the village. The Pooch Parade and Festival are coming up. Looking ahead, annual Pooch Parade and Festival returning on Saturday, August 18th from 10 to 4 p.m. on the village main lawn. The event sponsored by the Canine Adoption and Rescue League, or CARL, as we all know, was a big hit last August, drawing large crowds with its booth, vendors, and adoption opportunities. The Ventura Art and Chalk Festival will mark here on September 14th and 15th from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. At Ventura Harbor Village as well. The event features art vendors, chalk artists, and live music that is called the Ventura Art and Chalk Festival. So those are our updates with the village. Obviously, a very busy summer. I did receive a letter directed to John Higgins. This is from the fire chief from the city of Oxnard Fire Department. He would like to express his sincere gratitude and appreciation for the use of our facilities here. I think that was right here, John, in this room. And expertise during the California State Fire Marshal Open Water Rescuer Basic Course held May of this year. We trained 12 new firefighters in this discipline, along with our partner agencies, your classroom facility, strategic location near the harbor beaches. Equipment and personnel were a key component to making the training happen. This type of cooperation, mutual training, exemplifies professionalism and what can be accomplished together, and we are grateful for it. Please extend our appreciation to your staff and administration as well. We look forward to working together in the future. Great letter. Thank you, John, for sharing that with us. And last night at City Council, there was a item before the council with respect to the net zero water fee assessment that has been in place at the city. And several of us spoke in support of two city council members that brought forth a policy consideration to repeal that fee, which relates to a wide variety of projects and activities. One specifically here at Harbor Village that was assessed a $92,000 net zero water fee recently that would have been owed within a couple of weeks. So the council was asked to take two actions. One was place an immediate moratorium on the collection of any said fees, and the second item was to repeal the net zero fee altogether. The council discussed it, took testimony, deliberated on that, looked at a couple of options. One was to put the moratorium in place while further studying the repeal of the fee, but ultimately they voted 7-0 to take both actions, to place an immediate moratorium and to eliminate the net zero fee altogether. That means that the $92,000 fee that was owed by our new tenant coming in, the Loose Cannon, no longer has to be paid, nor does any future project, at least while the you know, this doesn't come back, is effective. So I know Reed Miller, legal counsel, reached out to the city attorney, acting city attorney, this morning to confirm our understanding of last night's events and help prepare a letter for myself to the city manager confirming that we no longer need to appeal that fee and that the fee goes away. So big success for that. I know I sent a letter out to city council on Friday that I forwarded to all of you and followed that up with public testimony last night. So very successful in that regard. And Mr. Chair, that concludes my general manager comments.
Excellent update. Lots to look forward to. Appreciate that. Commissioners, any thoughts on the staff report? We got a lot of great updates from the entire staff on projects. Comments?
Good effort on the net zero fee. Thank you. I think that'll help us a lot in the village. And great job on the marketing. A lot of the events that you discussed, I've seen online on Instagram and Facebook and so on. So it's getting out there.
Thank you, Commissioner.
A couple of questions out of the staff report. First, I want to just commend the landscaping work that's being done. It's really coming along and you can start to see it take shape. So thank you for that. In the Harbor Patrol report, there were comments about parking issues, both at the boat ramp and it sounds like perhaps elsewhere. It wasn't clear to me whether our parking plan or the way we're moving with parking was going to resolve that in any way.
Yeah, a couple things. And then Todd and John can jump in as well. John, will you come on up? So I'm not sure what he specifically referenced in the report. He can do that. But in terms of the overall strategy, the goal that we submitted in terms of the coastal development permit to the city of Ventura included areas of the North Harbor for reconfiguration of parking and boat storage. So the current boat storage that is across the street from here would be converted to overflow parking for the launch ramp. So that might be one of the points that you mentioned, and that would become a paid parking lot for both boats, trailers, and cars as an additional way to have that space there. Out on 19A, which is the parking lot at Schooner and Harbor Boulevard, about two-thirds of that lot will become our new boat storage facility, and about roughly a third of it will be a free parking, free satellite parking, both for the Four Points by Sheridan, and then also for boaters and for vehicles as well. That's a little bit further away from the launch ramp. This right here is much closer, and it's a natural nexus between the two. And, you know, we've got a busy summer, I think, between active boating, people launching their boats, and then five sport fishing boats that are very active, and you know we're in the middle of the peak season. But I'll stop there, and John, if you want to add anything.
He basically answered it. It's a good problem to have. It's just it was important to note it because as they further develop their property and relocate their boats closer to the ramp, that's only going to cause problems. But we had already identified the solution of reorganizing that small one. At that point, we could then just direct them only to that area and no longer use those precious long spaces that are supposed to be for the boat trailers,
right?
For sport fishing. So,
got it. So the sports fishing, it will be moved over to the.
It'll be further east,
right?
Okay. Further east than where it is located today, which means naturally people like to park closest to wherever, especially they got gear, right? You got fishing gear and that kind of thing. But I think we'll be working closely with the director team on that. That is their tenant, but we'll want to work closely with director.
Yeah. So it really is a good problem. It just was a little stressors. And so it took a little extra one-on-one with the businesses, with the master lessee, because they're ultimately the ones that are supposed to ensure that it's being followed. So.
Well, there's the boat launch parking issue, but it sounded like there were some
Oh, well, I was noting that we had switched to new technology with like handheld electronic machines. We were having a little issues with those, but those were just hiccups. And generally speaking, we don't write parking tickets because we don't try to leave people with a sour taste. Instead, we try to get people to understand the system and relocate. We've had to issue a few to some of the fishermen who are over in the precious spots this time of the year. To encourage them to move over there. And I think we're getting good compliance there. So I apologize if I misrepresented that it wasn't a problem. It's just a little bit of a little bit more activity on that side of it, which once again, it's a good problem to have.
No, thank you, John. I appreciate that. And then just my last question out of the staff report was, is really great to see the loose cannon developing. We're 2 weeks away from August 1st. I'm just curious, is that
Yeah, I reached out to Aaron Running today, actually the last couple of days for different reasons, some of which related to last night's testimony, but then also asked for an update. So he is still looking for early August as the opening. I don't necessarily think it'll be August 1, but he is moving in 20 something, 27 arcade machines. The bowling lanes are in. The flooring, I think, has been sealed. Lighting is coming in, and he told me this afternoon that he's within a week or so of his original target of August 1. So
Fantastic.
I think he's picking up the pace there, and we're getting close.
Right.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Good, good questions. Good update. I appreciate that. I just want to echo Jackie's statement about it's great to see the lawn getting replaced with sustainable landscaping. Great to see the lighting on the pier get replaced with LED lighting, more sustainable, more efficient. And then, oh, I had a third one. I'll leave it at that.
Departmental report. You said landscaping.
Yeah,
Sounds
I
like.
was on that theme. But anyway,
Of
appreciate the updates. Well,
course.
we'll close the staff and general manager reports. And we'll move on to our consent agenda. So tonight we have six items on the consent agenda. And typically, these are items that are voted on in one fell swoop. I'm going to list them briefly. Item A is an amendment to the lease with Ventura Swimwear. Item B is a new retail lease with Hats Unlimited, who, of course, is a longtime tenant here, but they're seeking a new lease. Item C, professional services agreement with Rasmussen and Associates for some engineering design support. D is amendment to a service agreement with Medallion, who's also been a good service provider for us. Item E is award of a bid for janitorial supplies. And finally, item F is a resolution 3506, approving the MOU with the Teamsters 186 for our courtesy dock master units. So
Mr. Chair,
before.
I just had one note that I wanted to make related to item F, and that is to thank outside legal counsel Oliver Yee for his efforts, along with Todd Mitchell, and then also to thank the Teamsters for working collaboratively and negotiating an agreement for the next 3 years.
Yeah, well said. Before I turn it over to the commissioners, let me ask if there's any public comments on the consent agenda. Anybody in the room? Seeing none. Anybody online? All right, we have no public comments, so we'll close public comments on the consent agenda. I'll turn it over to the commissioners.
I'll move the consent agenda as presented.
I'll second that.
We have a motion and a second to approve the consent agenda as presented. We do have a resolution, so it needs to be a roll call vote. So can I get a roll call, please?
Commissioner Howell?
Yes.
Commissioner Stevens?
Yes.
Vice Chair Gardena?
Yes.
Chair Blumenberg?
Yes.
Vote carries 4-0.
All right. We will, before I close that, I would just echo Brian's statement that it's great to see come to a good closure, good agreement with our courtesy dock masters. They're a key part of our team. I'm glad to see that was well done. Oliver, thank you again for your support on that.
My pleasure.
We'll move on to the standard agenda. First thing on the agenda is a sub-award with Oxnard Harbor District. Brian?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. We're very excited tonight to bring forward for your consideration an item that the Port of Hueneme's board took on Monday afternoon. So they considered and approved the proposed squid offloading relocation project, which is the subject of the subgrant award on that afternoon. Really, this project creates a unique opportunity for the Port of Hueneme and the Ventura Port District to continue to grow its cooperative efforts while achieving regional alignment of long-term goals. We have a couple of I know speakers here tonight. I wanted to thank the Port of Hueneme CEO Kristen Dekus, who is here tonight, and joined with her Chief Operating Officer Christina Birdsey as well for giving the Ventura Port District the opportunity to submit a partnership proposal as a potential subgrantee, something we've been talking about for quite some time, after discussing these possible synergies very early on with our Todd Mitchell. Todd played an integral role in these early discussions in helping to formulate a strategy with the efforts of the Port of Hueneme to bring this forward. So a great opportunity for both ports. Also want to thank a legal counsel, Reed Miller, working closely with Port of Hueneme's legal counsel on the agreements. It's a lot to get through state and federal grants, in this case, state grant, and all of the requirements that go with that. We all know that grants are a wonderful thing, but they also require a lot of great work by a lot of people to make them go smoothly. So, and that starts a lot with the legal counsel as well. So these funds are state funds. They're coming from the state of California. I would be remiss if we didn't also thank the state. I think through Caltrans for including the proposals, one of the named projects to receive a portion of the ports and freight infrastructure program funds. And lastly, I encourage your support of the recommendation tonight before you. But with that, I'd like to have Todd Mitchell walk through the details of the project and the next steps from here. And Todd?
Thank you. Next slide, Jessica. So I'm going to have a little bit of fun with the first slide. The commercial fishing site was originally designed by Michael Wagner in 1979, and Michael provided me the drawing a couple years ago when I started. And this is a cross-section of the facility when first envisioned. You see the fish pier isn't even there yet.
I think do we submit this with the grant proposals?
We have
spent $300,000 on these plans.
Be sure to tell Michael. So next slide. In the intervening decades, I think we all know that Ventura Harbor has become the largest commercial fishing harbor most years by landings in California. And the Port of Hueneme also has significant squid landings. So combined some years, we can hit 70% of the total landings for the state, which we did in 2022. But the Port of Hueneme has grown significantly in its goods movement business, particularly, I think, under Kristen's leadership in the last 12 years. So it's really of mutual benefit to both agencies for us to double down on something we do really well and take a lot of pride in, and for them to double down on what they've been expanding into. It's a major justification for dredging of Ventura Harbor that our squid offloading fisheries in general is such a commercial benefit, and continuing to grow that is in our best interest. Next slide. So in 2022, Cal SDA released the Port and Infrastructure Program Grant, the PFID. I didn't know that's what you called it, but the PFID grant, and we had the opportunity in talking with the port team to piggyback on that grant opportunity. And the board did take action back in early 2023 to approve us to do that at the same time that they authorized us to work, well, to extend a planning grant or planning contract with the engineering firm WSP, who helped us come up with a preliminary design. The board, yes, as I said, that was approved by our board in January 2023. And then last July 6, Port Hueneme was notified that they're successful in their grant application, receiving $79 million in grant funding and naming this project as one of the projects that would be funded. Next slide. So where we are today is, as Brian reported, the Port of Hueneme's board has considered and approved the subgrant agreements and the request for proposals, which is the same thing we'll be asking of the board today. And they effectively mirror the actions. Next slide. The next steps is, as Brian said, working with the state, particularly Caltrans, is a bit onerous. And so the final language is still being negotiated and worked out with Caltrans. REITs continues to work on that, which is why the third recommendation is to provide the general manager the authority to approve revisions to the project documents as recommended by legal counsel and to be consistent with the details and requirements provided by Caltrans. Once those are made and approved by the district's legal counsel, Brian and Christine would execute those documents, and then we would immediately be prepared to solicit a request for proposal for the environmental study, CEQA study for the project. Another next step is that although all of the fisheries involved, both the ones here and the ones moving, have been consulted about the plan, we haven't sat down with them as one big group and kicked the tires on the plan, which I'll show you in a second. It's important that we continue to engage with those stakeholders and then also the associated stakeholders around them, such as Andrea's, such as the Cats Market, et cetera. So we need to make sure that this project not only doesn't interrupt, but actually benefits and everyone's voices are heard in that process. But the district will need to be quite aggressive in pursuing the design and entitlements phases in order to meet our grant funding deadline of June 30th, 2028. Next slide. So this is an overhead aerial image of the area that you know that Michael envisioned and turned into the our current commercial fishing offloading area. It's a small area, but it's served very well to manage the amount of offloading that we do. But we could do a lot more and be a lot more efficient with that space. Next slide. And as mentioned, an engineering firm, WSP, that I knew some of the planning people from years ago, but saw, we'll say, this product in a different application at one of the conferences I attended. I said, that's what we need to do here. And we were able to time that very, very well with the opportunity for the grant. We'd actually started this before the grant was on the street. So we were prepared to actually make this part of some form of this part of that application. A couple highlights I'll just draw attention to here is, as you can see, instead of the six truck bays we have now, there's actually 14 truck bays in two different locations. Thank you, Jessica. Number 10, just for orientation, is the 1431 National Parks building where they have their laboratories, et cetera. And Andrea's Seafood is number 8 and their patio is number 20 just below it. So you can see that the building, that the two-story portion of the building gets knocked down and actually moved up to the waterfront. That's really kind of excited about some of the amenities that will come with that. We have three fish markets in the harbor now, and our vision is to see all three fish markets actually right on the front, right on the promenade, Pike's Place, you know, kind of a thing where the customers can really come and enjoy that opportunity in a more retail-friendly way. Andrea's restaurant does not have any customer-facing restrooms, and their employees have to walk all the way to the far side of the building to shared restrooms with the fisheries. That can be changed here. This is a great opportunity for that as well. Offices would still exist on the second floor, mirroring what's there now. And we would get the fishery operations, all the stainless steel sorting and weighing equipment away from the waterfront, away from the promenade. Squid is pumped out of the boat in a slurry. So those pipes can be underground and the fish can all be moved with you know, 1,000 feet apparently. So we can do that quite effectively with what's laid out here. And I think that really moves and consolidates the fisheries in a productive way. The blue and the yellow lines represent the flow of vehicle movement. As you can see, there's quite a few changes here, and we need to accommodate that. We probably need to do a lot of landscape changes along that curve because it is a blind corner for semis pulling out of the parking lot now. And it's possible that we might even need a traffic light seasonally for that location. And then one really nice thing that we're excited about here too is that, you know, we've spent a lot of time courting the opportunities for aquaculture, and this could really provide a lot of new opportunities to embrace that, to make that much more readily available. We'll have much better control of the site in this layout than we do today, which will give us a lot more flexibility to bring sustainable aquaculture to the harbor. And I think that's it. So that is my presentation. Happy to answer any questions that anyone has.
Yeah, I think I would just note too that Dave and Todd have had communication with our existing fisheries that are at the fisheries building now. You know, the three big companies we have, plus some of the other smaller companies, and there's been some engagement also down at the Port of Hueneme as well. So, I mean, if you sort of go back, Jessica, maybe to that one prior photo of the existing conditions. Yeah, I mean, one of the questions we get is, well, how do you accommodate more? Well, if you know, now go back to the next picture in the slide, I mean, you see how the opportunity to expand the offloading is dramatically increased through this design. So this is the early stages. Again, we'll move from here into environmental review, et cetera. But this is the first next big step in that effort. So as Todd said, we're here for questions. And again, I think we do have several public speakers tonight as well.
All right, let's go that direction. We'll open it up for public comments. Do we have anybody in the audience who'd like to speak on this topic? Please. Kristen?
Good evening.
Should you just hit the
box? Yeah. Thank you.
Sure. Good evening, Mr. Chair, members of the Commission. It's an honor to be here before you to speak in support of this project. I'd like to thank General Manager Pendleton, your chair, and Todd, and the entire team that we've met with over the years to really pull this project together and seed a vision that's really to our mutual benefit. I'd like to give a shout out to Christina Birdsey, who's been working very closely with Todd on this project. Just as a quick way of background, if you could remember in, I guess, 2020 during COVID, supply chain congestion. And if you read in the newspaper, there are vessels just lining up off the coast of California. And in light of that, our governor had the vision to invest in goods movement, which created the Port Freight Infrastructure Program at the tune of $1.2 billion investing in the ports. So we submitted a project we called PACE, a Port Action Climate Development Environmental Project, of which we received an $80 million grant. And part of that grant was an application in concert with the Ventura Harbor District for this particular project. And it really is to our mutual benefit. I know that Todd sits on CMAQ with our Letitia Austin, Government Relations Manager, and we all know the importance of keeping our harbor depths where they need to be to support commercial business. And I know it's very important here, as it is to us, for deepening projects that we're doing. But also the relocation of the squid fishery creates real commercial cargo opportunities for us. In fact, we'll be able to land an additional 10,000 containers a year because of this project and put in new reefer plugs. And, you know, that comes with a lot of jobs. And I think we're in the business at both of our districts to create economic and social goods for our communities by doing projects that create, increase our commercial footprint, but also create opportunities for our environment and for the people that live in our communities. So with that, we got the grant in July of, I want to say, 2023. It was 2023. And we took a ride down to Long Beach, and we met with actually who is going to run the grant is CalSTA, and then they put it to Caltrans. But we met with Governor Toksin-Washakin, who presented us with the check, and that was about a year ago, and it's taken a little bit of a ride to get there. So yes, we'd like to thank our legal counsel for all the hard work with working with our legal counsel to get all the documents in order. And there was a lot of work to do with Caltrans in terms of putting together projects, proposals together that had to go through certain audits with the state and whatnot. So it was a little bit of a red tape ride that we took, but we're here today, and we've had this project formally blessed and approved by Caltrans, so we're able to now go out to bid and start investing the money. And to do that, we need the right legal tools to launch the project. And so today, our board, I'm here to report, our board is in full support of this project. They voted it Monday night, and we look forward to your consideration this evening. But we hope you consider it in a favorable light, and we can move the investment forward. And I just like to give Christina an opportunity to come up and make a quick remark.
Kristen, I don't think there's a lot more that I can add there, but I did want to echo that and just say thank you to Brian, Todd, and Reed for working so closely with us and staff. And thank you to the fishing communities for being very patient with us, as I know we were awarded in July, but it took some time to go through with Caltrans and work on a master agreement and then form all of the documents so that we can move the funds through and be able to do and deliver a really successful project before 2028. So thank you.
And then the only thing I would add too is that we have been working closely with the Oxnard Unloading LLC, who will be the party that will be relocating over here, and they are currently in their last option with the Oxnard Harbor District.
Kristen, when does that last option expire?
It expires in 2026. So we won't kick them out until the project's done. We'll make sure all the I's are dotted, all the infrastructure's in place. But yeah, that we'll work with them until this project's
complete. Yeah, I think that's been one of your themes is you want to preserve the local fishing community and protect them. That's a great theme. So thank you for being here tonight. Thank you for those comments. Let me turn to Brian from Andrews. I think you want to share some thoughts.
Yes, thank you. Hello, Chair Blumenberg, Port Commissioners, and Port District staff. My name is Brian Bargill. I'm the CEO of Andrea Seafood. As you might imagine, we at Andrea's are becoming more interested in developments around the district's commercial fish landing site modernization project. As we saw over 45 years ago, Andrea's founder, Michael Wagner, was instrumental in the planning and design of the current commercial fish building, as we saw. At the time, an idea was hatched that a fish market with some cooking be placed at the end of the building. Little did anyone know that Andrea's Seafood would become a local institution and virtually synonymous with the Ventura Harbor Village. We've seen the village grow up around us and become a vibrant community asset, thanks to your leadership and the hard work of Port District staff. The recent tie-ins with X Games, weekly live events, and bustling weekends are bright examples of how far the village has come. And now, it's time to modernize the building, which Michael helped design over 45 years ago. Congratulations are in order for identifying, pursuing, and securing the grant subaward agreement, which will bring over $16 million of grant money to bear on this project. I've seen the concept drawings, and the scope of the project is really impressive. We note on page 80 that the project has a required completion date of June 30th, 2028, with most of the construction to occur in the last year of the project period. This date plants a firm stake in the ground and brings into sharper focus the realities of the project and its potential impact on the business continuity of Andrea's Seafood. Our lease includes a significant amount of square footage located within the building to be demolished, which is critical to our business operations, including but not limited to our loading dock, offices, dry storage, trash and food waste, refrigerators, freezers, and even our award-winning fish market. We are gravely concerned about how the loss of this space during the construction phase will affect our ability to conduct business at the volume and quality to which everyone is accustomed to, and also in accordance with Ventura Health Department guidelines. Todd and Brian have extended an invitation to collaborate with the Port District in further design refinement, and it's my hope that these discussions will cover not only the final state of the project, taking into consideration improvements long sought by both the Port District and Andrea's, but the needs for business continuity throughout the construction phase of the project as well. I understand that there are state and federal forces at work that are way above our heads, that $16 million is a lot of money to the Ventura Port District, and that our family-owned restaurant at the end of the building has a smaller impact to the Port District's bottom line than the business of commercial fish landing in our region. That being said, I'm going to ask you to please not let the construction phase put us out of business. When you ask Ventura residents and visitors what comes to mind when they think of the Ventura Harbor, you're going to hear more people say Andrea Seafood than California Market Squid. Thank you.
Brian, thank you for joining us tonight. Thanks for your comments. Very appropriate. Do we have any other public comments in the room? Seeing none in the room. Do we have anybody online? All right, no online. So we'll close public comments on this agenda item. Let me turn it over to commissioners. Chris, you want to start?
Sure. Yeah, thank you. First off, Chris, and thank you to your team. This is a huge opportunity for us as well as you. I love this energy. And the state probably recognized that as well, which is part of the reason that we were successful in obtaining it. So this is really cool. I'll leave it at that. And thank you, Brian, for your comments. They're well taken, and that's going to be with like any construction project, like we see with our roads, where they're trying to patch a road while keep it running, right? Well, it's going to be the same challenge that we have here. And I'm glad you were here to make that public statement. And I know staff's aware of it and going to work hard to make sure that your business continues. But thanks for bringing that to our attention here at the commission. I know it's a conceptual plan, so I don't want to get into great detail on that. But I didn't notice that there's any, and I don't know whether there's an opportunity for actual packing of the product I didn't see that on there. I'm assuming that that's not included in the proposal. And if it's not, I guess what I would say is, and it may not be within the budget either, but is it possible to have space available for that to be some sort of a future addition? Because it seems to me that actual packing of the product at the
point, yeah,
would be very helpful.
There are six different fisheries, and some of the fisheries have multiple locations throughout the state. And the packaging that does happen basically is quick, throw it into a 20-pound bag and send it off, you know, to the ports to get it exported. The fact that we have, well, I will say this, there's also issues with water regulations within the city of Ventura that have prohibited one of the fisheries from opening a processing, not really packaging. So yeah, Dave could probably comment, I'm going off what he's told me before, but when a fisheries bought a building in Ventura and wasn't able to open it because of the regulations about the water, I think the sick water going into the sewage treatment system was not something that the city wanted to deal with. So that may not even be within the realm of possibility, but within the footprint, we're already probably very, very constrained with the needs of loading in the vicinity of 200 trucks a day. So probably not.
Yeah, great. Maybe one last comment. I saw in the agreement, I think it's Article 12 of the agreement about termination. And while I have absolute faith that you're going to be able to deliver this project by 2028, to say that's an aggressive schedule is an understatement. I hope we don't have to get to the point, but when you're doing environmental documents and you're doing permitting, it's a challenge. I like that addition, and that you thought about that when you put that in the agreement. Let's hope it doesn't come to pass, but thanks for doing that.
Yeah, and we are asking Caltrans between our legal counsel and I think Port of Hueneme's to understand the back end data that we understand to be 2028. That's what we're moving forward with. But as these documents are finalized, that is something we want to understand fully. It is a aggressive schedule and we need to get going immediately.
Yeah, I think the June 2028, that was a question that I had. Was there an opportunity for extension if for some reason not all the monies were spent by that?
Yes, that's a specific question we have out to Caltrans, and there is some guidance in a publication from Caltrans they put out. It was last revised on February 5th, and it mentioned a slight possible extension, saying that the first half of the funds have to be expended by the same 6/30/28 date, but it provided an extension through 6/30/29, so one more year for the second half of the funds. So that indicates that they could be moving in the direction of allowing that end date to be expanded because of the delay and again, the tight schedule. So again, that is a specific question we have out to Caltrans. I think I have asked it through the Ports Council. The Ports Council and I are, excuse me, I call you the port because we're the district internally, so I'm used to that. So yes, we're just waiting for feedback on that. The other thing we're waiting for, which is somewhere in the board report, is a supplemental agreement, which supplements the terms of the master agreement. So the master agreement, that supplemental agreement, and then the finance letter, which we already received, those are kind of the governing documents. But based on the finance letter, again, that's what provided this question because it sticks to that same 2028 deadline.
Yeah.
So that's what prompted us to ask that question. And, you know, there are a lot of, we have a series of questions. They're all pretty related. And once we get the answers to each of them, everything's just going to fall in line. And it's whether we go this direction or that direction with some of our edits. But so again, it's kind of a waiting game, but at the same time, we don't want to wait because based on the preliminary schedule we put together, September 1st is when we need to start the process of, you know, having these, the RFP process to get the design for the CEQA work that's necessary, which is stage one. And again, as you mentioned, I don't know what it is in this agreement, section 12 is termination, and we built that in so that specifically if there's any, if either side, I think The triggers are if they decide that the costs are going to be prohibitive or the conditions associated with completing the process in that, again, CEQA preliminary environmental review stage make it prohibitive, that either party can cancel it with that 180 days notice to the other. So again, that's built in there. And in the event something was canceled, it's clear in the master agreement and the documents that any funds that were expended or incurred by the port can still be invoice and reimburse through that first phase of the release funds. So limiting the risk of performing work, deciding that the project needs to be terminated, but again, still getting reimbursed for the work that then led to the conclusion that maybe it would be cost prohibitive.
Just my experience with getting Coastal Commission to sign off on removing sand took a while.
That is different. That one is, that's in their jurisdiction rather than.
So yes, that was a concern. Brian, really appreciate the comments that you raised today. Andrews is obviously an important anchor institution here at the harbor, and certainly would be a priority for me to make sure that business continuity was at the forefront of our planning for this. So appreciate your comments and also just the work that you're doing with the restaurant and the fish market.
Continuing on the theme of a schedule, one of the things I'd like to see from staff, assuming the board approves the recommended actions tonight, one of the things that I would like to see from the staff is what's that five-year schedule? How do we get there by June of 28 or maybe it's 29? But I'd like to see those big ticket items. When are we going to do that? That'll help us focus our resources, focus our staff. And when we do our public workshop on September 14th, I think this needs to be part of those discussions, right? How do we make this happen? Again, that's kind of betting on the come here. But given the feedback I'm hearing from the commissioners, it looking pretty favorable. I work on the Navy base, so every day I need a break, and I'll take a walk by the waterfront, and it's been fun to watch the dredging that goes on or getting you guys down. I think you're down to 40 feet now. Watching the size of the vessels increase is pretty impressive, some of the vessels that you guys are bringing in there. And so I can see where the only thing that's not growing bigger or getting deeper is the plot of land that you have to work with. So I could see where reallocating that land is critical to achieve that vision you have. I'm thrilled that you've reached out to us and give us the opportunity to work together. So let's preserve our local stakeholders, those fishermen. Let's preserve our local businesses. It's going to take a lot of coordination, a lot of planning, but it seems like a great project. So my comments, Elizabeth, do you have anything to add?
Yes, please. This definitely strikes me as a win-win. I do appreciate Brian's concerns for Andrea. I had two questions. One is the opposite of excess funds. Do we have any exposure or what, particularly as a subgrantee, on cost overruns?
Yeah, so the cost estimate that was put together by WSP as part of the study, we anticipated, I believe, 30% in contingency funds as part of the project. There is, of course, you know, you have no idea what actual cost will be in another 4 years' time. There's also flexibility in the design. One of the offloading bays that is on the east or right-hand side in the map doesn't necessarily have to be fully constructed to be effective as a facility. For example, it could be done with what are called remote pumps or portable pumps. It could be done with ramps. So if we started to find that building that second facility became cost prohibitive, we have alternatives that would bring number 13 on the right. That could all be done in a much more, say, cost-effective, less permanent manner, and maybe we pursue future funding to make it more permanent down the road. So that's sort of the flex point. But I think most of the improvements planned in the center and then the top are all feasible within the amount of money that's been procured.
Thank you. And the only other question is, does Harbor Patrol foresee any potential for much greater resources as a result of extra traffic?
I think we'll evaluate that as we get closer to it and really see the numbers. there's some market trends of potentially the quotas being dropped, so that might ease up, but don't know yet. We'll keep it in mind.
I'll offer the additional comment just to partly answer the question too. Most of the vessels, maybe all the vessels that call at Wainimi call Ventura home port as well. So even when they offload there, they come up here and park. So in terms of inner harbor traffic to and from the berths, that's probably not a huge change. But to and from the fish pier, we'll have to make some changes there. We didn't really highlight them, but we'll actually have to put pumps on some areas of sea dock. So there'll have to be some waterside changes to accommodate that as well.
But and it's possible that this project could be completed before Spinnaker's repaid.
Sir.
So I'm just
Possible?
We can just finish it off with this, right?
so I'm just wondering if the city is aware of what's happening and understand the increased traffic and other things that are going to result with this.
I think we have certainly, including yourself, made presentations to City Council to identify the robust list of projects that we have in front of them, including this. And we will continue to advocate for the replacement of that road.
Chris.
Jackie's comment brings something to mind, and I think that your environmental document should include the information, but you'll want to identify the increase in truck traffic and make sure the city gets that information, because when they do repave, it'll have a different TI, traffic index, that they're going to have to make a more robust roadway there than they would have, assuming we're going to have that great increase. But
Yeah.
you'll get that info out of your document.
Yeah. Thank you, Commissioner Stevens. Also, the city has a newer, maybe he's been with us for a couple 2 months, public works director. So actually, to your point, Vice Chair, we need to get him out on the water, and we need to get him around the harbor, just like we do with any new department head of the city, and take him for a little drive on Spinnaker.
I want to leverage Elizabeth's comment about resources. As you look at the staff requirements, we talked earlier about how grants take a lot of energy to manage grants, make sure we cross every T and dot every I. What's the current thought on staff to manage this project? Are we going to at some point have to ramp up that staff?
So from my perspective, this is going to be more about leveraging staff with a team of private experts, everything from CEQA, which you've seen us do for a variety of projects. This is obviously a substantial project, but we certainly have done this with other projects where we identify, hire the CEQA consultant to prepare the work. Jessica Rausch works with them on publication, all of those noticing requirements. To me, there are certain requirements from Caltrans with respect to this grant that have higher levels of procurement and public bidding than our professional service agreement requirements are. So we're gonna have to abide by those. That takes additional time, of course. But I see a whole team of experts rather than ramping up staff here specifically for this. So I think the team that you see in terms of staff is the team that we've got. We'll be building a team around us in terms of outside experts to move this forward. To your point about September 14th and our upcoming board retreat, I think those are things to keep in mind relative to all of the different things we're working on and things that we might want to consider, that how critical this is and how quickly 4 years flies by. And how much time and energy this team will need to put into this to make this happen.
Just my personal experience is consultants, you got to hold them close so they understand what we really want instead of what they think the solution is. So, as we move forward in hiring staff to support this project, let's keep that lead project manager, the lead person, closely part of our team. That's in the future.
I think, commissioners, we've addressed all the questions, so we can go to the agenda item on the table is threefold. Part A was to authorize general manager to enter the subaward agreement with the Oxnard Harbor District. B was to approve an RFP to get the CEQA moving forward, and C is authorized general manager approve any revisions to the project documentations that may be recommended. Thoughts on those three elements?
I move the recommended action.
I second.
All right. So I have a motion and a second to approve the recommended actions, all three. Don't need a roll call this, so we'll do a voice vote. All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Hearing none opposed. Let's go off and do some good work.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us tonight.
All right, thank you.
Thank you very much. We look forward to working with you.
Yeah. Thank you for joining us. And before we move on, let me just say once again, compliments to the staff for pulling a complicated yet important deal. And Reed, certainly you're part of that staff, part of that team. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well done.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Brian, well, let's turn to agenda item number two, parcel five.
Sure. And as I jump into that, there was one thing I had wanted to put in my GM reports that I missed, and is we have a new hire. Will McReynolds joins us as our new management assistant. Will just graduated from UCLA just a few weeks ago and is a local resident here in town and interned with the Port District last summer and competed for and won the job. So we're happy to have him here. He's been here for, I think, about a week and a half, maybe two, and off to a busy start. So welcome, Will. Thank you. All right. Item two, tonight we have for you our next update with our RRM design team. And we put a lot of information in the board report to get you caught up. There's things that you all talked about and we talked about publicly with the last go around on the design that was several months back. We've got a new fiscal year and a new contract in place with the team. Who's here tonight and going to present for you. They've contemplated all of your feedback from the prior meeting. We have a series of things we think are the next steps. We want to get concurrence from the board on that. We've got an exciting, I don't want to steal his thunder, but an exciting fly-through, I think, animated fly-through of the site. And really some exciting improvements on the design. So we're ready to have you give us our feedback. And ready to move the project forward in the next step. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to Leif. And we also have Nick Deitch with us this evening as well.
Thanks, Brian. Chair Blumenberg, commissioners, good to be back. Good evening. Commissioner Howe, you're new to me and apparently a new member of the commission. So I'd be happy to fill in any detail that I missed tonight because I was going to do a truncated presentation. Predominantly, most of it's quite similar to what you saw last time, with a few notable exceptions. So we'll just get into it. Next slide. I threw that in because it makes my stuff look better. that's
how much did we pay for that one?
that's the original design. That's the site that we're talking about tonight.
This is the value engineered version of
the grass area is I believe is about 3/4 acre. So when you take the perimeter, we can say it's a little shy of 1 acre. Next slide. This is lifted pretty much out of your staff report, so I'm not going to read through it, but that's essentially the main design features of this proposal. There's a performance facility stage, a reduction in lawn, which meets the district's sustainability goals. There's a playground to provide activity during quieter times of the week. There's accessible walkways all the way around to just to improve the general accessibility and function of the space. The edge along the parking lot has been built up for a number of reasons, screening from the parking lot to provide some positive grade towards the stage, and to try to mitigate the prevailing wind. And then we've also incorporated the sustainable landscape palette that's already underway throughout the village. So it's really just proposed to be a continuation of that. And then there was other comments that, such as the solar power, the skateboard deterrence, and ongoing maintenance that aren't really physically represented in these drawings at the level of detail they're at. But just wanted to make sure that you knew that we took that on board, and as the project moves forward, there'll be considerations as well. Next slide. So the project that we're proposing tonight will look very familiar to you, Commissioner Howell. I'm not sure if you've how up to speed you are, but essentially you've got this crescent-shaped lawn that's kind of sloped, focused on a new stage element with the marina as a backdrop. This promenade that's kind of following the crescent lawn is kind of climbs to a point right where the promenade label is there. That's a high point, and then steps down to the parking lot. And that's a very richly designed edge with layered planting and walls and things like that. Next slide, please. The main points of difference from the last go around are these three: the stage structure design, the playground, and the selfie spot. And the main difference with the selfie spot is it's not there anymore. If you recall, that was, we proposed, you know, the big oversized novelty chairs, you know, for an Instagram moment, and the consensus was take it out. So we did. The other two, the stage structure, we'd showed you imagery of sort of like a almost a literal shell, like a band shell. We've taken a little more thought on that, the design of that, and we'll get into some imagery of that later. And then the playground was previously shown as a sort of a ship boat, and we've re-looked at that for a couple of reasons, mainly being concerns about visibility in and out for caregivers and parents. And, you know, not wanting to inadvertently install a creative nuisance with providing shelter and things like that. Next slide. The design character, there's a few images on the bottom left there that you'll recognize. That's from the, well, I don't know how recent you'd call it now, but some of the more recent improvements in the village, 5 years or so. Our intent would be to bring those forward to start to create a design thread throughout the village. But this is really going to be a family-friendly, vibrant space. So we're trying to add some whimsy, some color, some movement as well. So that's what these other images are trying to capture for that space. Next slide. Plant palette probably looks familiar to you because that's what you have out there today. It's, you know, it's definitely on the high color, high sort of design drama end of the spectrum, and it also meets the state's water requirements as well. Next slide. I have a couple of renderings of the proposed design. This would be entering from the main parking lot. You can see that we've got this gateway feature that's on this central axis with the stage canopy framed by a gateway. And then this edge is really treated with a number of techniques to achieve the goals I mentioned earlier. So you've got some walls, which are, again, a consistent design element from the rest of the village. You've got deep planters that are quite lushly designed. a couple of different tree species. We're pretty limited on tree species that will thrive, but we're trying our best to get some biodiversity into the design. And then I'll just briefly touch on the wind feature that we shared last time. It's that colorful blue ribbon that's running through there. That's, we haven't changed that yet, but as Brian mentioned, we're in a new fiscal year, and one of our next steps is we're going to engage a wind engineer to do some modeling for us to ground truth the validity of that solution and give us some pointers. And just the overall purpose of this is really to create a sense of arrival and give it an identity. Next slide. These all, I'm sure, look familiar to you. They've just been updated, same similar views. But flexibility was a big deal for us. Even though we're talking about concerts and other events that focus on the stage, the reality is it's designed to function in myriad ways throughout the year. So this is a example of how it may be laid out for a farmer's market or some sort of an art fair, something like that, on that sort of that promenade. You can see your first little sneak peek of the new the stage structure. What we've done is tried to, it's less literal. We just thought it was a little kitsch. So we've tried to do something that was more evocative rather than literal of the sails and the shell, sort of the convex forms. So we've got this very elegant, I think, solution, which is glue laminated wood beams that are curved with some sort of a covering that could be sort of to either aluminum or aluminium. We haven't decided yet. Or some other product. Maybe it's a fiberglass or some other type of. It's not a soft fabric. Could also be scaled, like a fish scale or something like that. That could be a real feature in itself. Very simple, elegant, and doesn't dominate the space. You can kind of see it in the background there too. This is one of the sort of the corners that we've tried to introduce some sort of family scale picnicking. You can take a sandwich or your free ice cream from Cozy Cone and go hang out there. Next. The part of the play area, it's right on the sort of existing promenade that would be continued all the way through. That's where the big oversized chairs were in the previous iteration. But the point on this one is to show that the playground is kind of like blending into the environment. So it's really got this porous edge that we think is going to be really dynamic and fun for kids. And there's places for parents to drop down their stroller and diaper bag and that type of thing. And really, really fun and energetic. Next. And then this is the main signature playground 2.0. We went away from the ship, and now we're showing this structure that's, you know, it's basically got this central tower, and it's representative of a big squid that you can climb up and around and over. It's much more transparent from a safety perspective. Still has that eye-catching landmark quality to it. It's quite tall. So it's still going to be a destination point, just a different approach at it. Probably more cost effective too. And then just a sort of a trying to capture how this could come alive at night with the various lighting that we have. We've got lighting on all the pathways. That stage canopy would glow, you know, if it was lit up. So there'd be a real like a lantern almost along the water. And the other elements, like if that wind wall ended up materializing in a similar vein, that could also catch the light as well. So it's really going to have a cool character at night, very different to the day. And finally, we animated it to give you a sense of what it might be like in the space. I'll just let this play and stop talking. You could hum. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. It's long and narrow, so I think when you look down the length of it, it can appear larger. Yeah. You can see that the stage is fairly transparent. You know, there's a lot of air in it, like lots of space to see through, so it's not too heavy. And that area in the front would be accessible seating, VIPs for a special event, that type of thing. Oh, it's a good question. You know, how many do you have at the movies today? And is that pretty packed in, or is it comfortable? Packed? Yeah. There's obviously less just wide open grass in this, so I'd be loath to say it's comparable. It's probably less, but a much better experience for those that are there. I think that's wrapping up. Did anyone notice the guy walking straight through the light pole? There's a few glitches that are kind of funny, but anyway, I think this helps to capture the space. It really shows off the idea for this stage structure. I think really, really effectively. So that's the end of the design part of this. I do have all the old slides after this. If someone remembers something that they want to refresh their memory of, we could find it. I can't guarantee how quickly. And then the next kind of next steps really is what Todd and Brian and we've been discussing, and that would be starting to get into the CDP process with the city. And that there's the required steps that takes, looking at what level of CEQA. We think it might be able to be done at an administrative level, which could be a little more efficient at the city. Maybe it could be qualify for some sort of CEQA exemption, but at the most it'd be an MND to be determined. Mm-hmm. By the city, it'd be the lead agency. And we would have some work to do to get flesh out some more details in order to make that happen. So that's really the next steps. We'd have meetings with Coastal Commission, which is really, we don't think they're going to have a lot to say about it other than appreciate being kept in the loop and city staff. And then we'll also need to be looking at budgetary strategies with staff, depending on the approach they want to take with implementation, like over what period of time, and if we need to look at value engineering or phasing or some combination thereof. So that'll all be forthcoming in this next phase of the work and the wind study. So that's it. I'm happy to take questions, or if Brian, you want to take the.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. I think that's right. We are including in their new agreement to really drill down at a more refined level the cost. I think what Leif's alluding to also is, you know, how does this development look in its pieces and then in its entirety? We have put some monies that you've approved in the 5-year CIP over a 2-year period starting, I believe it's next fiscal year, beyond the service contract, more significant amounts of money, I think $1,750,000 over a 2-year period of time. I think initially, and again, unrefined at this point, was maybe a $7.5 million development price tag. I don't have a Port of Hueneme grant sitting out there for this, but this is a
project that we obviously the board has directed us to move forward on up to this point. And it'll be incumbent upon us to work to identify, you know, how we can implement this. From a budgetary perspective, we may have about $1,750,000, as I said, maybe a development of 7.5 million in today's dollars. So we've got a gap to fill. Same thing, I think, from a staffing perspective. You know, it's our team here working with the expert architects and ultimately their subconsultants, which would be their engineering team. But I think first things first, we do want to get the wind study to proof this design. If we don't see anything fatal coming out of that, we'd probably move forward with beginning to prepare the CDP again. We would ask RRM to prepare that on our behalf, work with the city on process. It's possible this could be a director's hearing level, given the type of project that we're looking at, maybe a CEQA exemption, as Leif said. We'll see how the city wants to handle the environmental review since we're the applicant as opposed to maybe one of our master tenants. So that's kind of where we're at. This is exciting from a staff perspective, but to realize this dream, we need to work to find budget. So I hate to be the wet blanket part of this, but that's what I've got to do.
Okay, before I open this up to commissioners, let me just pause. First of all, thank you for the update. Pretty exciting project. Let me ask for any public comments. Anybody in the room? Anybody online? All right, no public comments. So, yep, stay where you are. And let me turn it over to commissioners. Questions, comments? Elizabeth?
Great. Thank you very much. I apologize if I put you through anything you've been through before. I've been through the plans in detail. I like it. I think it's exciting. I have a few questions. A lot of dogs visit there. They're probably there. I don't see them called out. We need lots of poop bag stations. They're vital.
They're not shown currently.
There needs to be an ample number of them. They're heavily used. Where the car cutout is on the south end, I could see people dropping off people with strollers and wheelchairs. I think it's vital to have a ramp up, not only there, but perhaps that right-hand staircase be a ramp so people don't have to go all the way to the promenade to get in. I appreciate the symmetry, but I think it's more important to have a wheelchair access immediately from the parking lot.
Leif, I think one of the areas that you looked at is where you have number 25 on the northeast connection between the parking lot and the promenade. I think we were looking at it from the perspective also of looking at Ruby, delivery trucks, vehicles that need to bring in equipment for those booths that you see and things like that. And I think we were thinking that would be also an ADA connection as well to the promenade.
I think we already built that.
So
I think we've just built that.
Yeah, but I think it would be completely redone.
We did look at that actually, and I think what we ended up with this solution, because if you got out of that car and you went right and then up, you can get straight into the playground that way, and the ramp. A ramp to get up that far would almost be the same length. So I think it appears less convenient. It's probably just as convenient as putting a ramp there due to the length it would have to be, but we'd be happy to look at that again.
I'd appreciate it. Yeah. I know people in wheelchairs with service dogs and take them through a children's play area might not be optimal.
Yeah. Yep.
I appreciate you doing the wind study, because while it's rare, we have seen winds in the harbor clock 70 knots. So yeah, I think your new design is probably the open one is probably much better than the shell. I was concerned at first about accommodating movie nights and so on, but it occurs to me people don't just have to be on the grass. They can bring chairs to all that hard surface area. So you're probably covered there. The umbrellas in this picture here, you don't show umbrellas at the selfie spot. but in the other drawings you do. But I'm thinking families are going to, if they've got their kids there, they're going to want to eat there. We probably need to make sure there's umbrellas there. That's all I've got for you.
Thank you.
And I appreciate the use of all the native plants.
Good comments. Thank you. Chris?
I didn't really have any too much data. I like that. I kind of like that design of the, I'll still call it a band shell, even though it's not a shell, but particularly if you can illuminate it like you kind of showed in the evening, I think that's a really kind of neat look. Would really draw people in. And it looks like the elevation that you're going to add is about 6 feet, maybe at the top. So from that point over, you'll go kind of straight across the concrete and then start the slope.
Exactly.
Down the grass. Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's a pretty gradual. It's going to be a pretty gradual slope, but I think that's going to be enough to create the perception that it is for viewing the stage, hopefully. You know, I think it will be. But it's going to be a pretty...
It's very, very subtle. Because you're striking that balance between it's not just for that purpose.
Right,
so if it's too steep, it's worthless for everything else.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No. I mean, I like it. And I like the how you... The play area is just kind of open. I think that's a real improvement and not something you have to kind of enter, right? You'll just kind of flow right into it from the promenade. So I think that those are all good additions. My only other thought is, after having been at the drone show, that I don't think our two restrooms there at the end are going to be enough for the big crowd. Thinking about a place, and I don't think we want to add constructing new restrooms into the budget. Maybe think about some sort of spot for the staging of portables for big events. Might be something to keep in mind.
Yeah.
Thanks.
So I too like the new band shell design, especially, I think, as Elizabeth mentioned, that it's not closed in the back. I just pictured it being lifted up and crashing into the marina on a really windy day.
Yeah.
The wind engineer, I appreciate you guys taking that next step. I think that's my biggest concern, is the climate change piece. And I know we've had to cancel several events this year because of wind. And so wanting to make sure that we build it in a way that's not just going to work for the next 5 years, but 20 years from now, it's adaptable to what are the changing conditions that we're going to experience. I thought at our last meeting, Chris had mentioned something about the palm trees. So are the palm trees still part of the design?
They are at this point. That was brought up as a comment from a commissioner. We opted to leave them in. We'd take this, the same comment again tonight if it's the commission's pleasure. The reason they're there is because partly to create some sort of architectural rhythm, and it's also that they're fairly transparent, so they don't really prohibit other things happening as opposed to other trees. They're kind of more of a view blocker. So we looked at just putting them on the backside of the path as a middle ground. We opted to leave them in for those reasons. They also help to sort of divide the space up. So if you have a car show, it's kind of creating bays for an event layout. But there's other ways to do that.
What are they?
Staff goes out there with a tape measure and some chalk. Yeah. That wouldn't be a primary driver reason for it, obviously. Yeah.
Yeah, I just, and maybe it was Brian, you and Brian, because Brian was also, Brian had mentioned the fires and the candle-like atmosphere that palm trees create. So just whether or not we want to have a longer conversation about that later, But certainly still something on my mind in terms of both drought resistant or the amount of maintenance, et cetera. And are there alternatives that we could look into?
You know, something to note also when we talk about it, the slope and being fairly soft, I mean, it's trying to accommodate a lot of different things, but it certainly doesn't accommodate everything. And I think there's some things that, you know, particularly Brophy's and Andrea's have been supportive of the chalk art festival between in the parking lot there. On the one hand, it eats up parking, but the feedback we've had generally is that the amount of people it's brought right in front of the two restaurants has been tremendous. So I can think of car shows and some things where this is probably no longer the best spot to have those things, but it doesn't mean we can't continue to have those kinds of events in other locations, such as the one I just mentioned, that even with, you know, the space now, we still use other parking areas and so on for those other events.
Good comments, everybody. One of the things that you talk about infrastructure, one of the other thoughts that comes to my mind is trash enclosures. If you got a family doing the picnic, sitting at those picnic tables, where do they throw their trash? Are we making accommodations for extra trash?
Well, I think I'm going to answer part of that, which is that, as you know, we've just installed, Sergio, I know it's more capital side of the house, but what, four new trash enclosures? Four, right, and one of which is right, and those are, as you've all seen, designed to accommodate a significant amount of waste and recycled material, ADA access, etc. So all of the old ones have been replaced, and working your way around from Andrea's all the way around to the park, at least four. There's one by Island Packers as well. So I think it's something to look at. Ruby, when you have had the movie nights, trash disposal, well, maybe Sergio, has it been, you've been able to manage that? Do we put additional receptacles out? I don't know. Well, I don't know that we're planning to eat up space of this half acre park with trash enclosures. I heard trash enclosure. Okay.
Yeah, I think they're not shown at this level, but the standard furnishings like trash receptacles would definitely be there, and we'd take our cue from staff as to the quantity of those. But there's no, just to be clear, there's no trash enclosure drawn in this plan currently. We're kind of assuming that we're going to rely on the infrastructure that is in place already.
Yeah, when I brought the comment up, I was thinking trash cans.
Oh.
And the cans could be taken out to the larger enclosure. You know, Americans don't like to walk very far, so we gotta make it easy for them to throw their trash away.
Yeah.
You brought up CEQA, and thinking maybe this is not a huge lift, and you said MND. Could you remind me, MND stands for?
Mitigated Negative Declaration. So it's fairly light. It's the tier below a full EIR, which is a heavy lift, and expensive and time consuming. So that's what we would expect. It's currently a park. It's going to continue to be a park. That would be our rationale. It's an improvement of the same use. That would be our approach on that. Yeah.
Had a lot of comments about the structural integrity of the clamshell and endorsement of the new design. One of the other things I trust that we would look at is the acoustics, right? We want to make sure it's good acoustically, right? It'd be kind of frustrating to get a band up there and you can't hear them. So, and similarly, Elizabeth, maybe you want to address this. For the residents of the harbor, right, is the back of the back shell, I'm not saying this right, acoustics on the waterfront, right? Right. And the clamshell kind of forces the acoustics to go towards the ocean. Is it a problem with the acoustics going back into the waterfront? Maybe you don't like the kind of music that's playing, right?
We already hear music from the village and music from the yacht club when they have music. As long as we don't get too much competing music, I think we're okay.
It's one of the benefits of the site, huh?
Yeah.
Okay. Gotta love it.
Do you live on the water? Is that what I'm?
I live on a boat right across from.
Oh.
Okay, I think I'm done, Chris.
I'll just add to that. I mean, I know I'm being kind of glib, but I mean, some alternative to the palm trees. I would like to see what that might be, because it's not just the fact that in dry weather they do become something of a candle. With the winds that we have, if they're not trimmed actively, the dead fronds fly off and they're deadly. So we want to be, that's not something we want to have to deal with. The other thing on the sound study that you're going to do, the focus, of course, the wind study is how effective it is at blocking the wind and the wind pattern.
Yeah.
I look at that and I start to think about that it's going to generate its own noise. Are they going to be looking at that as well?
Like if it's whistling as it goes through it? Yeah, you brought that up. To be honest, I've never worked with these guys before. This is kind of new territory for us. Okay. We don't normally work with wind consultants. They're mostly, used for big buildings in downtowns to see if they're creating, venturis and stuff. So, but they do have a division that looks at user comfort in outdoor spaces, which is really what this is about. So that's definitely a question I'll ask them. Yeah.
I'll just say I like the squid.
All right. I believe I already asked for public comments, didn't I? All right. So we moved on from that. What's in front of us tonight is receiving the presentation, providing comment, and direction to the general manager. So I think you got a lot of comment. Next, as far as the direction part, next steps would be, could you run that by us again?
So again, the wind study would be a next step, further refinement, alternatives to palm trees, other comments that we heard tonight, looking at incorporating those into a final package. We need to develop a application through our work with RRM for a coastal development permit. We will also have we've already had discussions with City and Coastal Commission. I agree, this is more of a check-in. We've got a park becoming a park. This is kind of a win for everybody. From that perspective, and refinement, starting to look at the budget at a much more linear level, starting to look at all these various components. Something that Nick and I talked about before the meeting got going is, we can also look at the cost in terms of the various elements of this design. From there, begin to hunt down possible grant opportunities to leverage the dollars that we put to it. I think we do want to talk with the city as well. I know they're pressed for their budgets, but this is within the city of Ventura. This is an opportunity to add park space that's, again, as we've always said, from passive to active. This might be a win for them in terms of their parkland, maybe something to have a discussion about. And are there any possibilities to partner with them on some grant opportunities? So those are, I think, the big things for us moving forward. So I think if the wind study doesn't come back with, whistling sounds and, that it needs to be completely redesigned, I think we would plan to keep going and do a check-in in a few months. But we'd probably like the opportunity to go ahead and submit to the city.
From my discussions with the city, when Bill Ayoub took over as city manager, attended some workshops, the metrics to provide open space per city resident was a big driver for them. Mm-hmm. And if we can help with that, even if it's a relatively small site, but every bit adds up. So mm-hmm. I definitely like the idea of partnering with the city. Remind me, coastal development permit, CEQA study, chicken or the egg, which comes first?
A lot of times we're acting as lead agency and you are asked to approve what oftentimes is a mitigated negative declaration for one of our master tenant projects, marina development. I mean, think of Director Marine Holdings, think of the Yacht Club, think of Ventura Isle Marina, all things you've approved, over the last 5-6 years that staff initiated environmental consultant contracts and then brought that to you for your consideration before you took action on the project itself. The difference here is that we are the applicant. And so I think we need to have a conversation with the city and ask what their comfort level is and what do they want to do? Do they want to act as lead agency? Do they want us to go ahead and prepare the CEQA document ourselves? Again, you know, we can't prejudge what the outcome of the CEQA is, but I think we all know this is a relatively low impact project. In fact, if we looked at it the other way, it's a positive impact on open space for the community. So should be a relatively minor lift. The CDP, this is on the land. Coastal Commission can and will probably weigh in, but in terms of who the lead would be in processing the CDP, it'll be the City of Ventura. That's an application, materials. From there, they're changing their systems there. They're doing a lot more at what they call the director's hearing level, which is an administrative committee hearing. The chair has attended one of those on behalf of one of our other master tenants. You know, famous last words, but I think this could go relatively quickly. I know. Not in terms of the entire development, but in terms of the CDP process.
Does anyone ever do an old-fashioned negative declaration anymore? Because this seems like it could be a candidate for that to me. I know that's a rare bird these days, but
very.
Don't say rare birds with environmental. No. I'm joking. It could be that it's exempt, but I hear what you're saying. Are there any mitigation? Are there any mitigation measures needed at all? I hear what you're saying, right? Yeah.
So I think what you're seeing is a lot of excitement about the project. I think you're getting general endorsement about moving forward, taking these incremental steps to move forward. The big lift remains $9 million construction budget, roughly $7.5 million.
Yeah, the nine is all the soft costs, right? We did, Todd, maybe if you don't mind, just briefly touch on the grant that we submitted for that relates to maybe to help fund some of the soft costs.
Absolutely. It's referenced at the end of the staff report. An opportunity came up that was in a newsletter that regarding the Arts in California Parks grant opportunity. It's a three-year phase of grants where some of the money goes towards upfront costs. Some is actually designed to fund actual events. And then there's also some opportunity down the road for a little bit bigger chunk of money. We didn't have everything in place to go after the big money. Obviously, we're pretty early. But we still submitted a fairly, I would call, aggressive grant application because, quite frankly, our marketing team has been doing so much in terms of multicultural programming and community oriented programming, which is really what this whole grant program is about. And they kind of said, submit whatever you need. And so we basically submitted for everything we could dream up RRM being able to accomplish between now and next next June, when the grant monies need to be spent. So $233,000 is what we cooked up as a number. If the CEQA does go exempt, we'll actually probably be over budget, or like too much money coming from the grant. But you know, the money is actually awarded in advance, and you spend it, and then they give them a tour at the end. So these are like the kind of the dream grants to get, because they're so easy to administer. One report in the middle, one report at the end. You know, photo ops and a sign at the end. So great opportunity. And we did get really great support of the Art Association, which we had, they came and spoke before closed session, the city, our state senator, assembly member, county supervisor, all wrote letters of support. I feel pretty optimistic that we will be able to come up with a good amount of money to supplement what RRM is already budgeted to do and get a lot of work done this year.
Yeah, my thought is that big lift, the more we can get this vision in front of people, local city leaders, county leaders, congressional leaders, right? Get the vision out there. Somebody's going to want to help. Let's keep progressing forward as we can. I think you've got the guidance you were looking for, and let's make this dream reality. All right. So with that, we will close this item. We don't need a vote or anything like that. It was open discussion, I believe. Do you want?
I'll move the recommended.
I think there's a recommended item, and I think Commissioner Stevens beat me to it.
All right. So I have a recommendation. Do I have a second?
Second.
So I have a motion and a second to approve the recommended action, which is to implement the next steps towards a Parcel 5 revitalization. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, your recommended action is approved.
Thank you.
That was the last item on our agenda. Before we adjourn, I want to do two things. I wanted to look ahead to we're off in August. So we'll give the staff a break from these late nights. Appreciate everybody being here tonight. Our next meeting is September 4th, which is the first Wednesday in September. That is our one meeting before the public workshop, which is September 14th, which is a Saturday morning. So please spread the word. Would love to get friends, neighbors, businesses to participate in our workshop, right? Let's make sure we're setting the right goals, the right priorities for the staff so that we can continue to grow this place. And last thing I want to do is adjourn us in the honor of Ed McCombs. If you saw in the Ventura Star, Ed was a former city manager for Ventura for a decade, but he also spent a decade serving here on this Port District. And so it's great to see somebody who, from this article, explored the world, but gave back to others, gave back to his local community. That deserves our honor, and we're going to adjourn in his honor tonight. Thank you very much. Have a good night.
Thank you.
Yeah.